Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast from Faith Point Church, Auckland, New Zealand. We hope you will encounter God afresh in this week's teaching segment. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, then you can visit us at www.faithpoint.org.nz. And now for today's message.
So today I want to talk about experiencing the father love of God. So for those fathers here, I just want to say happy Father's Day. And we might just touch on this topic there. Now, experiencing the father's love of God. So I'm just wondering, do you ever feel like you are sometimes, you are not enough or you're not worthy of love? You know, if so, I just want to assure you that we all struggle with that sort of feeling. The feeling of not being worthy or feeling of inadequate, at some point in life because of our broken nature. But God always has a solution for what we are facing and what we are struggling with. So I want to talk about this. And really the solution is about experiencing the Father love of God. So 1 John chapter 3 in verse 1 to 3. So I'm just going to go there. Yes. So that's the scripture there. It says here, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is who we are and what we are. The reason the world does not know us is because they do not know him. So right from the start, I think God is saying that I want my people to relate to me as father, and father in Hebrew literally means a source of life. Excuse me, a source of life. So the Father is the source. So when you have a relationship with God the Father, you are connecting. You are connected to the source of life, and out of that, obviously, we find eternal life in Jesus. But really, out of the source of life, we will find the spiritual sources that we need. They're like faith, wisdom, and peace. And then out of that, it flows into our everyday life. So John is actually writing to a group of Christians who are struggling to understand the love of God. So he encourages them to think of a father-son relationship when it comes to God, or a father-daughter relationship when it comes to God. And then only secondly, we can think of our relationship with God as a creator and a created, or a trainer or apprentice, or a king and his general. So that's why when Jesus asked, that's why when the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And then Jesus actually said that when you pray, say this, our Father in heaven, not like our creator in heaven or our mighty God in heaven or mighty judge. And a lot of people don't get this right because they just don't understand that primarily God is our Father. And it says here, it says what great love the Father has lavished on us, and it really talks about love, and the Father wants us to be filled with His love. We hear that all the time about being filled with the love of God, right? But I was thinking, why do we need to be filled with the love of God? Well, the reason is because the love of people is not enough for you, okay? It just doesn't matter if the whole world loves you. It's still not enough, because deep down in our hearts, we need that eternal love of God to be there, and that can only be filled by God. If we are not being filled with God's love, then we will find some low-grade substitutes. And eventually, those low-grade substitutes or cheap substitutes will let us down. And that's why we just need to get this right. Our priority is that the first thing that we want from God is that God help us to to embrace your love instead of feeling like we need the love from people. I mean, the love from people is good. I mean, it's a good confirmation. It's affirming. It's great, but it's nothing. But it's nothing like the love of God. Yeah. So we should be called. So it goes on to say we should be called children of God. You know, the love of God that saves us and makes us His children, right? But there's a condition. You know, the condition for becoming a child of God is this. A lot of people think that everyone is a child of God. But here it actually says from John chapter 5, it actually says that God gave us the right to become children of God. So what does that mean? That means like even though all of us in the world bear the image of God, but not all of us are children of God. And the only condition that will qualify us to be children of God is by having our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we put our faith in Him, and then we become His kids, and God would become our Father. Yes, so that's very important. And many people would find it hard to call God the Father is because they struggle with they might have some struggles with their father or their mother or some authority figures, and they might think that, you know, if my father is like that, then God must be like that. So God must be cold and distant or untouchable. Well, I think we have to come to a place where we have to learn to make a distinction. Even though our parents or people or some authority figures may disappoint, because we are human beings, you know, we are fallible, broken human beings, and we could actually do wrong, but it doesn't mean God is like that. And we have to kind of like, we have to convince ourselves to make a distinction to think, okay, well, people will disappoint us. God can restore them and God can restore us. But however, God is not like that, okay? He's still a loving Father. He's able to heal. He's not distant. He's not cold. He's not untouchable. And in fact, He has enough love for all of us, right? So the reason why the world doesn't know God is because they don't have the love of the Father. It didn't say that, you know, they don't have the Bible or they haven't seen the people of God or anything like that. It says, the reason why they don't know us is because first they don't know God, and primarily they don't know the love of God. So they might not understand why you don't need the love for people to feel secure, because you're secure in God. They don't understand why you can be so bold in speaking the truth, because you have the backing from God. They don't know why you can find the comfort, you know, through the Holy Spirit, when other people don't favor you. So obviously, of course, you know, they don't know God, and therefore don't be surprised that if they don't know you as children of God. So in a way, it creates a problem. The problem is that we are strangers and we are aliens in the world, and people might not know us. And they don't know why we have our faith, because they don't know God. So don't be surprised. I mean, they persecuted Christ and the apostles. So don't be surprised that they would persecute us. That's what the word says. So, but the thing is, if you are still struggling to feel secure in God, well, I just want to assure you that we all have that at some point. But also we have to realize that now we are grown up now. We have the ability to process, situations and emotions. And we all have the ability to draw from God and to pray and to find healing from God. And we can't go back to how we used to be like, you know, because like when we were kids, we didn't have a lot of options, and we didn't learn how to process, you know, with our emotions, and we might tend to misread things when we were kids, but we're not now. We're grown up, you know. So now we're grown ups now. We learn to interpret things differently. We can actually see things differently instead of reacting to the same situations the same way we did when we were kids. Yeah. So I just want to share that there are three things about God's love. First, God's love teaches us that, the word teaches us that God's love is unconditional. He loves us even though we do not deserve it. Second, the word teaches us that God's love is personal, because here it says that he calls us his children. Third is that the word teaches us that God's love is universal. That means it's available to everyone who seeks to trust him. Yes. So now I just want to identify three things that stop you from receiving God's love or the Father love of God. Number one is unworthiness. You know, some people believe that they are so unworthy of receiving anything from God, you know, to the point that they will reject, you know, whatever good that comes from God, or they will just try to find some sins within themselves to repent of. Well, you know what? That's not helpful. I mean, look, if the Holy Spirit convicts you and to say, hey, look, you know, I need you to pay attention to this. This is not pleasing me and it's not healthy for you. Yeah, well, identify that, and not just to repent, but to renew your mind and to make some changes. But you don't need to go around and to find some sins and to repent of, or to always feel like, no, I'm not worthy of God's love. You know, I usually would find these people during the worship time, in the prayer time, and they feel so, it's almost like by their body language, you know, you can tell that, you know, they don't want to lift up their hands, and they feel like they don't deserve God's love, or they don't want to reach out to God. You know, that has something to do with worthiness. You know, that has something to do with how you see yourself, because God never sees you as unworthy. Not because of your goodness, though. God sees you as worthy because of what the Lord has done for you, not because of what you've done. And so sometimes, you know, when you see the outpouring of God, you know, coming on people during the worship time or the prayer time, and people don't reach out, you know, they are still as dry as a bone. And I just want to encourage all the brothers and sisters here, when it comes to the worship time, when it comes to your time with God, just reach out, because like the sense of unworthiness can become an umbrella, you know, to stop you from receiving the outpouring of God. And when it comes to people praying and worshiping, you should be really put, you know, to really put off or to close off the umbrella of unworthiness, to say, God, I'm unworthy, but I receive you not because I am good. I receive your love because you are love, because you are good, not based on my own performance, not based on my situations, not based on me. It's all on you. Therefore, I want to come boldly before you to receive from you. Yeah, so if we have a strong belief that we are unworthy, inadequate, or sinful, or guilty, or something, you can actually quench the Holy Spirit. Or maybe I should say, you can actually quench the smile of God upon your life. Why? Because you become so self-focused, and you become so I guess like self-focused, to think it's all about you. But when it comes to God, it's not about you. You know, you just have to lay aside who you think you are, what sort of mistakes that you made. You put it all aside and say, God, I'm going to come before you and allow you to do what you want to do in my life. Yeah, amen. Yeah, so number two is unforgiveness. Now, I'll put a bracket there. Unrighteousness. The bracket, pretend perfect innocence. What I found is that a lot of children or teenagers or young adults, or even some adults, they tend to have that perfect, they tend to have that mask of perfect innocence in front of their parents, you know, when it comes to their parents, because they want to be innocent and they want to be good kids, or they want to be good boys and good girls. And they try to score brownie points. And I've seen a lot of that. It's almost like they try really hard to please their parents, or they try really hard to please their big person, or they try really hard to please their authority figures. Yeah, there are brownie points, but Jesus scored all the brownie points for you. And all you have to do is to follow him and let him do the guiding and the leading for you. And remember, there is no perfect righteousness within us without Jesus. Therefore, there is no perfect innocence in us, except for in Christ, being in Christ. So that's very important. That because we can't pretend to be innocent or perfect. We can't, because we're not. So it just won't work. So in other words, we just have to give up putting on that perfect righteousness or the perfect innocence before people. We don't. And it's okay to admit that we don't have that, but Jesus has it, and he will give us wisdom to achieve what we need to achieve. But we're not perfect in front of our parents or authority figures. And it's okay to admit that. Number three, unforgiveness. Yes. So unforgiveness is a really common topic. And I know that we all know that we have to forgive. But the thing is that when we backtrack, the reason why we need to forgive is because something that bothered us. Okay. I was just talking to someone else yesterday, and she said that, you know, she always gets a lot of scolding and hard times from her parents. And my question to her was, so when they scold you or when they give you a hard time, does it bother you? And she said, yeah, it bothers me. Well, but sometimes it doesn't. Well, if it doesn't bother you, then it's fine. But if it bothers you, then you have to see, why does it bother you? Is it because you need respect when it comes to a conversation, and you don't want people to cut you down when you guys hold a conversation? Or is there a need for you to feel for you to have that dignity when you speak? Is there a need for you to be heard or to have listening ears? So sometimes the reason why we don't forgive is because there are some needs that are not met. So say, for example, during a conversation, you know, the other person would talk and talk and talk and talk. And then after that, you thought, well, what a waste of time. I'll never talk to that person. And then you would talk about that person all the time. Why? Because, yes, you need to forgive them. But really, the ultimate problem was, the issue was, okay, well, there was a need for you to be heard. But during the conversation, that person just talks and talks and talks. So the need to be heard was not met. And then you need to identify that. And once you can identify that, you can say, okay, well, you know what? During the conversation, there was a need for me to be heard, but it didn't happen, right? Okay, well, if it didn't happen, then what are you going to do? Oh, well, I need to share. I need to say that, hey, look, can I share something for next time? But for what had been done for you last time, you need to let go of that need, because even though that need was legitimate, it was not met. But then you just have to say, okay, well, you know what? It was not met, but I'll let go. I'll let go of that. And next time I'll be a little bit more wise. You know, I will probably say, hey, can I share something too? Or, you know, you find a way to find mutual respect. So you don't feel resentful, or you don't feel affected emotionally. And then eventually you get upset, or you feel terrible. So find the cause, find the root first. And then when you can understand that, then you can forgive a lot more easier. So, but in saying that, some people may not, well, in saying that, some people will just offend you. Okay, once they offend you, they might never have the ability to give give their listening ears to you. Or what if they can never give you what you need? Okay, so say like I know some I know some young adults. They always want their they always want their parents to say I'm proud of you or I love you. Well, the thing is that what if they don't have the ability to do that? I know it's sad, but it happens. Okay, it happens in a broken world. But then you being the person who got hurt, you always ask them, well, pay me back. You know, you should tell me that you love me. You should tell me that you are proud of me. It's almost like you are asking them to pay you back. You are asking them to pay you back what they owe you. But what if they can't give you back what they owe you? What if they can never hug you? What if they can never say they are proud of you, right? So that's the moment, that's the point where you want to say, okay, well, you know what? The debt that they owe me, I know that they can never possibly give back. So I need to give up that debt. I need to forgive that debt. Okay, I can forgive that because God the Father is the source of life, and He has other resources that can fill those needs for me. Okay, well, that means there is actually a higher purpose. There's actually a higher source of life that you can draw from. So while other people can't give you, as long as you know that there is a source of life from God, then you can afford to let go because you know that God can actually make it up for you. Now people might say, I've never experienced that. Well, that's where you need faith. That's where you need faith to believe that God can actually make it up back to you 10 times more than what those people owe you. And that's where you need to forgive. And that's where you need to trust God. And that's where you need to practice faith. And but as you believe, God will not deprive of what was owed to you. He will give it back to you, whatever that is, whatever that is.